Aloha, we're back here at KPULP 104.7 FM with Charlie and Charlie from the USS Hector AR-7 Historical Society. Take it away, Charlie.
Now we're a historical society, Charlie.
You either got promoted or demoted.
Well, I thought I'd start out with talking a little bit. We were going on the start of the history last time with Hector's first maiden voyage and going out of Pearl and some of the services it was doing. But there was another USS Hector before our ship. Ours was the AR-7. The Navy Historical Center lists one other ship called Hector, and it was from 1909 to 1916. It was called an AC-7 coal carrier, and it served on the Atlantic Fleet. It supplied coal to the coal-burning ships that needed fuel over there, and it also was a transport ship that took submarines over to the Philippines. Doesn't give a detail of how what happened to it, but it said it suffered an accident off the Atlantic coast and sank there in about 3 days. But that was the first Hector. I was going to also talk with you, Charlie, about some of the repair shops that were on board the Hector, what type of services that an auxiliary repair did.
Well, we had quite a few different types of shops in there. Our main shop was a big old machine shop we had. We had a gunnery shop. We had a hydraulic shop. We had an electrical shop. We had a sheet metal shop, ship fitter shop, blacksmith shop, optical shop, an instrument repair shop, a canvas shop, a fire repair. I guess total of all, we must have had around about 20 different shops on that ship, so therefore we could take care of just about anything that would come up. Foundry, you name it, we had it. I have a listing here of different shops. Well, we even had a watch shop where they repair watches. And all the compasses and stuff like that could be repaired. Anything would come aboard that ship, they could repair it. If they couldn't repair it, they'd make it.
Well, I see here one that's listed. I'm sure they don't have it anymore. A typewriter repair shop.
Yeah, they had one of those on there. Yeah.
I guess now they'd have to have a computer repair shop.
Yeah. And what was it later on, after my time, they had an English ship come alongside and had to have a part which broke down. They couldn't get one, but they made one on the ship and gave it back to the, was it New Zealand, Australian? It was after my time, I remember reading about it. And like you say, you just named the shop, they had it. Refrigeration shop. I remember that shop.
Two of my favorite was the armory. They had all the gunner's mates, and they took care of all the small arms as well as the big guns. And they were kind of a fun place to hang around for me. And the other was the dive locker.
Yeah, they had a diving locker.
And we had full service divers with hard hats as well as scuba. And they did a myriad of different types of underwater services along the ships. And I know they had, when the Houston was sinking, they sent those divers over the side to essentially survey for the repairs and come up, say what's needed. What else you got?
They had one in there that they had a carpenter shop, and they also had a pattern shop. The pattern shop would make a pattern, then they'd take it down to the foundry, pour it, send it back up to the machine shop. The machine shop would finish it off. And they had a welding shop where one of their big deals was taking valves and so forth, what were broke or damaged. They'd bring them aboard. They might have to weld them up, and after they'd weld them up, they'd take them down to the blacksmith shop, and they'd put them in the oven to relieve the weld over the casting, send it back up to the machine shop. Machine shop would finish it, paint it up, send it back. I don't know the work they did, but I know the paint held up good.
Now, if you got listeners, go to our website, you look in some of the pictures, you'll see that the Hector, one of the pictures shows the Hector with a bunch of ships tied up alongside, And that's essentially when it was out in the harbors or whatever, it would tie up all these ships, large to small on either side, and that was called a nest. And what we would do is we'd run...
steam, electric.
Yeah, steam, electric, and planks, yeah. Any kind of a thing. So foot traffic from all the different ships could go on to the Hector. And because we supplied medical services, we had dental services. There was a hospital on there. A lot of times when those ships tied up, they had such small galleys that they couldn't do any feeding, or if they were shut down with their steam, Hector would provide galley services, and we would feed the other crews also.
We can catch those pictures at USSHector.com, right?
That's right. Thanks, Jeff.
No problem.
We had supply and stores. The Hector kept all types of supplies on board for just about any kind of repair, and we could give those to the other ships. We also had yeoman services, which were like human resources and administrative services, combat intelligence. We even had our own little post office there. And what did you do when you were on board there?
Well, I ended up as a diesel storekeeper. It was my experience. Before I went in the Navy, I worked for an automotive parts house, and a friend of mine was buying up, after the war, a lot of this old surplus stuff. And I started working with him, he bought up a lot of this old gray marine surplus Navy stuff, so I was pretty familiar with diesel parts. So they found out I knew diesel. They put me down in the diesel storeroom, and here they had boxes and boxes and bins full. The Navy had one number, and the civilians had one number. They'd come in and ask you for a Navy number for a part. We don't have that. We got a civilian number. So I took an old parts book, my buddy and I, and we transferred civilian numbers to Navy part numbers. Then we took and went Navy part numbers back to civilians. So a guy come in with a Navy part number, we'd go to the bin and get it, and we'd look over. This would be the civilian number. We knew we had the right part. And the book we had was all in civilian part number. So we had, it took us about 6 months to get it all straightened out. We finally got it straightened out. And then by that time there, I was a short timer boy. I only had 100 and some odd days to do. So I got another fellow down there and had him work with me for a while and let him know how it was set up and so forth. And I finally went up the main GSK. I ended up my time up there in the main GSK. A guy came down and said, "Where do I get paint?" Go all the way aft, go down there by the jail, the brig. So that's the job I had for about the last 2 months in the Navy, just sit there and tell guys what storeroom to go to. It was fun.
Now, being a ship fitter and part of ship's company, we were always scrounging. And, you know, the other ships, they would, as far as the administrative beam counter work, when a ship pulled up alongside, they would, okay, we're going to credit this amount of supplies and money towards the repair of this ship that came up. But being ship's company, they didn't want to give us nothing. So we always became real good friends with two people, your local storekeeper, you, and as well as the galley and the cook. So you always did favors for them because that's the only way we could get tools or supplies for taking care of the ship. So mm-hmm. We learned to, you know, keep the storekeeper happy and then make him look the other way so we could get our supplies.
All right, to go back to what Charlie was saying about ships coming alongside, this happened in Alameda, California. The Hector at one time was working on 33 ships at one time, in which 17 of them were tied up alongside of the Hector. That was in Alameda, California.
Oh, man.
And that was quite a deal, 33 ships.
Well, let's go back to the history. Now, Hector is done with the Korean War, and it continued with Pacific repairs. And it was presented with a battle efficiency plaque in 53-54. And it also won the battle efficiency award again in 55. And again, then again in 50, 55, 56. During the second half of the 50s, it alternated services along the California coast and WestPac tours. And most of the ports were Yokosuka, Japan, Sasebo, Kobe, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Kaohsiung, Formosa or Taiwan, Guam, and Oitak, all over the Pacific. And any time you know, there was a repair that needed, Hector was there. In the 60s, it had to get 62. Hector had to do a major overhaul, and it was dry docked at Bethlehem Steel Corporation Terminal Island, Long Beach, in California. And let's see. And then in 63, it started Pacific duties again. In about 1964, the Hector was used as, or six, excuse me, 64, the Hector was used as a backdrop and a stage for pilot TV series called Convoy. Hollywood decided it needed a World War II era ship for a backdrop, and Convoy was a movie that they wanted to depict World War II crossing the Atlantic to supply for like the Normandy invasion and that kind of stuff. But it never caught on very good, and it was kind of a flop. And our webmaster found somebody in the archives that dug that up, and you can see that's attached to our website now. There's several little things that we have on the website that are kind of unique like that. Let's see, in 1965 and 66, she actually got some of her World War II equipment taken off and remodernized. I guess that was kind of around the start for Vietnam era. And she was going back and forth between Long Beach and the Philippines, Taiwan, and Japan. Also made Pearl Harbor. Every time we went out to the Pacific, we always stopped at Pearl on the way out and Pearl on the way back. What kind of experiences did you have when you were underway out in the Pacific? When you went up, the sights that you saw being out in the middle of the ocean, because that was a big ocean.
Yeah, it is. That is a very big ocean, you know. And like you say, it was a long trip. You know, it took 2 weeks to go to from Long Beach over to Japan, and that was taking the short route. I don't know what the long route had been. We went up towards Alaska and down. We figure going up to Alaska, we could lose a little bit of speed, but after we got to Alaska, going down to Japan, we might be able to pick that speed up, but it still took us 14 days. It was great. One time we were out there, and it's not a lie, I got buddies with me. Rains on one side of the ship, and it wasn't raining on the other. Well, we had that happen.
I actually saw that myself. I experienced that. We went through a squall.
Yeah.
And half the ship was wet, raining, and it was blowing sideways. And the other half of the ship was sunshine and blue sky.
Yeah.
It was so unusual.
See, I wasn't the only one drinking that wrong kind of stuff.
The torpedo juice? Supplemented with that World War II beer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're out there on that long sea voyage, you learn to get a little creative, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, in 69, the USS Hector was called to Pearl Harbor. And for quite a while, it took over all the in-port repairs in the Pearl Harbor area.
Was that due to that aircraft carrier having that?
USS Enterprise
had
sustained some heavy damage on its flight deck from a plane crash, I guess. And about that same time, the Hector's boilers broke down.
Oh, yeah.
Then it had to go back to the stateside to get, I guess, to the Todd shipyards to get refitted and updated again, major overhauling, and it got the two large cranes up on the boat deck were completely overhauled at that time also.
That was good, because when I was a deck ape, I used to run those cranes, and we had more oil outside of the crane than we had in the crane.
I understand it was hard to do watch on the – you said that earlier about a guy that had to get up on there to do
– Oh, his general quarters.
Yeah, general quarters.
Yeah, he had to climb up on top of the crane to an air lookout. And he had a ladder to go up, and the deal was you had to have a life jacket on. With a life jacket on, he couldn't get through the hatch to get up there to his station. So he took his life jacket off, and his officer told him, "You got to have a life jacket on." He said, "I can't get through that damn hole with a life jacket on." So he threw the life jacket up there, and then he crawled in there, and he closed the hatch and put the life jacket back on. That was old Nick. Oh, and not to change the subject about being at sea, what was great, I think it was on our way back from Japan the first time was on a Friday. We crossed the international dateline. Friday, we had whitefish. Next day, Friday, we had yellowfish, the same damn fish. With a different batter. We had fish 2 days in a row. Same fish, one white batter and one yellow batter.
I enjoyed watching some of the sea life when you're underway and going over. Sometimes you could see a sea turtle floating by, and what I thought was kind of fascinating was watching the flying fish.
Oh, yeah.
And they, you know, the swells would come up, and you could watch a flying fish gliding from one swell to another. And then a lot of times the dolphins would be up on the bow giving you an escort.
Yeah, they'd float right ahead of you, or maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 feet ahead of you or right alongside of the ship. They'd be swimming with you.
Now, being in the DC shop, damage control shop, we were considered fresh air snipes. And if you were a snipe, that meant you stayed down below decks and were with the engineering. And the it was hot.
Hot house.
Yeah, you never got out. But because we were fresh air snipes, I mean, we got all over the ship.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a privilege being ship's company.
Yeah.
But I remember going down in some of those evap rooms and stuff and being so hot. And then come up, and here you're out in the tropics, and it's hot out in the tropics. But those engine rooms were so hot, you went up on top to cool off. And sometimes it's so hot, you just sleep out on the boat deck at night.
Did you ever drink any of that steam coffee down in the engine room?
No, what was that?
They had the coffee down there, and what they do, they had a coffee dealer, and they turned steam into the coffee grounds and instead of water. They turn that steam in there, and boy, I'll tell you, you drink a cup of that coffee,
light you right up.
Boy, it'd keep you awake.
Was that just before or just after the torpedo juice?
Well, it depends.
Well, let's see. Going into the 70s, Hector also made WestPac cruises, which means Western Pacific. In the Navy, you learn to make acronyms out of everything, and so you shorten it all up. So bear with us if we're going to ask the listeners to call in. You can ask about some of those acronyms. The Hector departed for Vung Tau, Vietnam, to provide services over there. It was awarded its first Vietnam Service Medal at that time. That was during the time Hector, when I came on board, was in 71. It had been actually going over to Vietnam long before that and providing fleet services there. And I remember being down outside the Delta area in Vung Tau and Da Nang area, where we would tie up and do a nest there. And a lot of times the gunboats and the South Vietnamese ships would pull up alongside. And we serviced just about anything that came up. And you get to talk with some of those fellows and see some of the unusual equipment that they were using going up and down the rivers and stuff like that. But Hector did quite a service over there. And I remember seeing a lot of little fishing boats and sandpans running around. Bet you saw that, quite a bit of that over in Korea, too, huh?
Yeah, we've seen quite a few of those, yeah.
And
like I say, we was only in Korea there for about, first time about I'd say about a week or so. I can't remember. That's been many moons ago.
Well, in 72, Hector was awarded a meritorious unit commendation for its services to the 7th Fleet. And apparently somebody thought it was giving vital fleet repair that it was needed. So we got that award. I don't even know what it's for, but I guess we were meritorious. And in 1974, then Hector was relocated. It was no longer stationed out of Long Beach, California, off the Terminal Island. It was removed and sent up to Mare Island. And that's when I got off the boat. I ended my service in 74. But then there's a whole other era after us, Charlie, in the 80s, that Hector started providing services and around the world. And then, anyway, in 1977, I'll go back to that famous missile, because that's part of our history, was called to replenish desperately needed stores on the combatant ships that departed Pearl, and in order to observe Soviet cruise missile triangulation operations. And during this operation, the infamous Hector missile was built to confuse the enemy. And it even canceled R&R to Keelung so it could run around there and have the Russians thinking that what in the world is a Hector doing with a missile on? What kind of missile was this? And all it was a hollowed out piece of steel painted up with fins on it and welded on the front deck where one of the gun mounts used to be. I thought that was after me. I remember, too, back in World War II, I guess, hearing some of the guys were talking about having visited some of those islands out there. They tested the A-bomb.
Yeah, the A-bomb was 1945-6 Aniwita. That's where they dropped the A-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was out there on that.
So would she have qualified as a hot ship?
No.
Wasn't right there when they lit one off,
huh? Wasn't there where they considered it as a hot ship. Because just when I got ready to leave the Navy, that's when they were having all these radioactive deals, and they went through drills, and you're supposed to be dead. They'd put a mark on here, and you're supposed to lay down there like you were hit or something, or and the corpsman would come up. Well, my buddy, he was over here on a mount, and he says, "Heck," he says, "I'm gonna go over there and play dead." So he went over there, and this place on the deck was marked off for a man who had to be washed off or something. He says, "I should have stayed on my gun," because he says those guys knew what I did. So he says they really treated me rough.
Anything. Taking to the break.
Okay.
Give us a rest.
We'll be right back. Again, you're listening to KPULP 104.7 FM.
If your pretty little girl leaves you hung up, standing on a corner, Fifth and Main. If you stand there with a pale movie ticket, tear up the ticket, brother, don't complain. Cause it ain't,
cause it ain't,
no it ain't,
no it ain't,
ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing, brother, when things ain't looking up. Ain't no big thing when there ain't no coffee to fill the cup, cause the time's coming. Let them roll, let it roll now. If you come home early one Sunday morning, find your bag and baggage in the rain. Your girl just left town with your best friend and your money. Get out the number, brother, don't complain. Cause it ain't,
cause it ain't,
no it ain't,
no it ain't, ain't no big thing. Ain't no big thing, brother, when things ain't looking up. Ain't no big thing when there ain't no coffee to fill the cup.
Starts getting huffy. Walking around your pad with a long face. Just go out and you buy her a one-way ticket. You tell her, go join the astronauts in outer space. Cause it ain't.
Cause it ain't.
No, it ain't.
No, it ain't.
Ain't no big thing.
Ain't no big thing, brother, when things ain't looking up. Ain't no big thing when there ain't no coffee in the filter cup, cause the chance comes. Let 'em roll, let 'em roll. Ain't no big thing, brother, when things ain't looking up. Ain't no big thing when there ain't no coffee in the filter cup, cause the chance comes.
Someday you're gonna be mine. Sunny, won't you smile my way? Hold my hand, don't you shy away. Sunny, I need you more and more and more each day. Just can't go on another way.
Coming back no more, seen enough of the psycho cities. I'm going, yes, I'm going. Whoa, I'm going back home now. Cause I ain't had time for thinking, and I ain't had time to love, ain't had time to do the good things I've been dreaming, 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 just dreaming of. Now there's a man standing there, he's busted. His friends forgot his name. His old Cadillac car is rusted, and he's dying. He is dying. Oh, he's dying. He's dying every day. There's a cop on the corner, and he's busy. Some cat just broke the law. The freedom waves are congested, and the ice won't don't ever come. I'm going home tomorrow, where flowers bloom every day, where the cool night winds are blowing over quiet Hilo Bay, where the ocean's roar is pounding like the beating in my chest. Over green hills I will wander till my soul lays down to rest. Yes, I'm going back home now.